That kind of worked. Ho, 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 and welcome, Sotskers, to a super special edition.
Yes, it only happens once a year. Oh. On this first year of our being alive as a podcast.
That's right. That is right. First of all, I'm Aaron.
I'm Ben.
I'm Doug.
And today we are touching upon that oh so magical time of year to talk about Christmas movies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys know, but Christmas is just around the corner.
Has been since Halloween.
Yeah,
no kidding.
Yeah. But we are in America, ladies and gentlemen, so we are bombarded by Christmas stuff, as I'm sure much of the Western world is, but here particularly. So we're going to lean into that hard and list off some of our favorite Christmas movies. And I personally am going to throw some out there that I take umbrage with, that I have a beef with.
Oh,
a Christmas beef.
That's a good start. I like it.
Good old Christmas beef, the best beef of all.
That's
but before we get into beef, let's get into beer. Of which I am drinking a New Belgium Accumulation. Mm. It is the White India Pale Ale that they've released. 6.2% by volume. Mm-hmm. What do we got? Oh, flurries of Mosaic and Amarillo.
Ooh.
Hops. Or as we would say in Nebraska, probably Amarillo.
Amarillo.
Yeah, and Texas for sure.
Some Amarillo hops.
It's off Guadalupe Avenue.
Is it good? Do you enjoy it?
Yeah, it is. It's tasty. Pretty mild as far as IPAs go, but I'm okay with that.
Doug, what are you drinking?
I am drinking my personal favorite, probably beer of all time, Lucky Bucket's Snowsuit Belgian Abbey Ale.
Ah.
It's I'll just read the label for you. Our special blend of spices perfectly accents fruity notes derived from the traditional Belgian Trappist yeast, bringing out the flavors of the season. It's really good. It's not, I know in winter you kind of tend to go for real thick, heavy beers. Mm-hmm. A lot of people do stouts and stuff like that. But this is a kind of a nice in-between. It's not real light like a lager.
Oh.
It's a good ale. Warm and toasty.
Very
sitting
nice.
By the fire.
Yeah.
The beer's not toasty, but
I wouldn't have judged.
I mean.
Lovely.
I myself am bucking the beer trend and decided to pour myself a not unhealthy glass of Sean's whiskey. Aaron and I's folks went to Ireland not long ago, and part of that trip was visiting the oldest operating bar in Ireland, correct?
That's my understanding, yeah.
I figure among the older in Europe, still in operation.
That was in Athlone, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, something like 900 AD. And they have a house-blended whiskey. I think they actually have a couple versions. But it is among the smoothest whiskey I've ever drank.
Yeah,
it's so good.
And we are very happy to learn that it will be distributed in the United States soon.
We were very happy to learn that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because my bottle, and I have been pouring it only for special occasions, and my bottle is already looking wounded.
Mine's gone.
I've somehow got over half still.
Yeah.
So I need to get to work.
Enjoy it.
We said we didn't have movie news before this, but I just found a thing that we might want to talk about a little bit.
By all means.
The streaming wars.
Mm.
Instead of having a $150 cable bill, you'll now have 15 $10 a month services.
Right.
Warner Media today, who's now owned by AT&T, nothing wrong with the people who control how you get your media, owning all your media.
Right.
Have announced they're going to do they announced a while back they're going to do a streaming service. What that'll entail sounds like it's kind of up in the air.
Yeah.
But they're the ones that they shut down, like Filmstruck and Drama Fever and stuff. They are going to do a three-tiered streaming, three different packages and
oh boy,
I think it's terrible.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of details. It's just CEO speak of like that. We want to meet the customer at their price point and blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. But what's going on with the? There's going to be 200 streaming services by the end of next year.
Yeah, but I'll tell.
At least until Disney owns everything.
Yeah, anyway, some coming. Well, and they off of that too. They said they're not going to get rid of Hulu, which a lot of people kind of thought that they'd fold that into Disney. They just aren't going to invest in Hulu. But we can get to that.
Interesting.
Later. Sure.
You know, once upon a time when I worked at a local cable company in Lincoln, Nebraska, one of the many that were represented there. That's a joke. Lincoln, Nebraska has been a cable monopoly for over 20 years.
Not anymore.
Oh, really?
But yeah. Well, yeah, we have several.
That's
now.
Good.
We'll just leave it at that.
I would have people tell me regularly that they would pay as much as they did for like all the channels that they got if they could just pick four channels that they really wanted. And I remember looking them in the eye and being and saying, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Do you like you're willing to pay more to get less so long as it's just the few things that you want? Like the other channels don't hurt you. I'm not defending the cable company because cable prices are ridiculous and unnecessary. But I guess this is just going to show like, yeah, people will pay quite a bit, or I guess that's what these companies are betting on.
Yeah.
But yeah. If you think about that,
I just wonder
if there's like ABC and like NBC and like all these different streaming services, and you've got to have each of them to see each of their shows. Each of those networks is then really counting on producing something, at least one show that will get people buying the subscription, right?
Yeah, you'd have to. Because they can't all be the Netflix model, which is question marks. Like, I don't know. Netflix is clearly just making a ton of money off of subscriptions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But their shotgun blast approach of greenlighting every project that comes across their desk won't work for all these other ones. What bothers me most is these companies like AT&T and Comcast and things, the people who own the internet media, like the internet transmission abilities, also being the ones who control content. And that's because then you get Disney movies all the time. Every movie is a Disney movie. Every movie is PG-13, but barely PG-13.
Yeah.
And they're all stupid. Yeah,
you get Dreg.
Like the I think it was, yes, yeah, you get a lot of Dreg, which you get now anyway. But there's also some good stuff in there. They were talking about with HBO, they were concerned that people weren't engaged in enough hours of the day with HBO. Like, who? And see, that's a person who thinks that apps like being on Twitter is the same as watching TV.
Yeah,
and
no.
Even though some people live that way, that's not. I don't want 30 seasons of Westworld just so there are 30 seasons of Westworld,
fair.
For example.
No, you're, as a production, you know, producing content, you can focus on what that content, or you have the ability to, whether or not people do or not, but you can focus on the story, which in theory is the product that you're putting out, right? With different degrees of production around that. You're right. When you are supplying the source and the content, it just all becomes product. It all becomes commodity.
Yeah, which is sad because, I mean, movies have always been a mix of business and art. But when it's 100% business, you get Transformers 4 and 5.
Yeah.
And nothing else. Mm. So anyway... Everyone buy all the streaming services. There will be 200 of them by 2019, end of 2019. Because Disney is supposed to launch next year. I think them investing in Hulu makes sense because they'll probably, that's where they'll put their, like, Disney's like the family brand, you know? So I think that's where they'll put their other stuff, like the Fox stuff and the more adult themed things.
Yeah. I mean, that's
Disney's making money off of two separate streaming services.
I mean, that's like a classic arms dealer situation, right? Like, you're supplying both sides, but I guess it's different if you own both sides. Yeah. Speaking of which, Dotsker's SW streaming will be coming to you in mid-2019 for a scant $6.99 a week. You can hear the same 19 episodes of SOTS Watch.
Oh, can you imagine how much we'd have to do?
We wouldn't do anything else.
Subscription service.
Ooh.
No. But that's okay, because we wouldn't have to do anything else.
Yeah,
and
no,
all the for like certain, 90% of our content would be terrible.
Yeah, if we had to try,
yep,
we'd be breaking down the individual Ah Real Monsters episodes.
And this is my reimagining. That'd be fun. But I'm a nerd, so I love Ah Real Monsters. I call the episode where Ickis has to save his cool friend because his friend was too cool to fill up his gas sack before they left the dump. Just saying.
I don't remember that. I only watched that show a little bit when it was on, so I know what you're talking about. And Grumble and the Candy Cane, I can't remember what her name was.
Oblina. And Crumb. Ickis, Oblina, Crumb. And Crumb.
Hey, guys.
That's right. That was it. Yeah.
Yeah. I really like that.
I remember that being a good show.
And I bet they had a Christmas episode at some point.
They probably did, which would have been a nice segue if I didn't think of another movie.
Ah, damn it.
Subject, just to bring it up
it's
real
fine.
Quick. Rumors.
The Ah Real Monsters Christmas episode. Gone Shopping.
Ooh.
There's also the 12 Plays of Christmas.
Oh, nice. And now they are officially canon. That's right. George Lucas has made them canon.
Well, speaking of George Lucas, there are rumors that the Obi-Wan spinoff movie is going to be filmed by George Lucas himself in Ireland. Now, again, that's kind of hearsay at this point. I don't think anything's official. I'm just not sure if that's...
Do you think George Lucas
right
floated that rumor?
Well, I wouldn't put it past him necessarily, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to make of that.
So on its face, it's like, ugh, what a bad idea. But I would like to see what... Because George Lucas, he's a creative guy. He's a very experimental filmmaker. Or, well, deigns himself one anyway.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what he would do back under the confines of studio notes. Because the prequels, there was a lot of potential there, but he had no one to stop him. So he just literally did whatever he wanted. If you had really strong producers who could tell him no when they needed to or what to change. I think we've seen he's made really fun, interesting things before, and not just A New Hope, but THX 1138, Indiana Jones, which he also had Spielberg helping him too with that. But I kind of hope that's true.
I mean, here's the thing. He is, I think, a wonderfully creative person who needs boundaries. Because exactly what you said, like, if he doesn't get that, if no one is there to tell him no, or if no one's there to at least hint to him that, like, this isn't a great idea, then you get Jar Jar Binks, you get a lot of dumb stuff.
Yeah,
A
lot of bad dialogue, ugh, and a lot of terrible, like, character motivation, and a lot of it just kind of has this kind of air of, because I said so. Nothing's earned. It's just like, buckle up. It'll be cool. Just trust me. And then it's like, oh, it kind of sucks now. But
yeah, he likes spectacle for sure. Yeah,
way to create a universe.
And what better character to throw under that lens as Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Possibly
that's weird,
the most.
Because it's...
I was just gonna say, like, possibly the most sacred.
I don't get what time period.
Oh, that's a good point. Is it going to be when he's being taught by Qui-Gon? Is it going to be when he's alone on, is it Tatooine?
Mm-hmm.
When he's living?
Because I know there's a lot of people want to see Ewan McGregor get to play Obi-Wan in like a good movie. So
yeah,
there's that. But you'd have to wait another 20 years before he's as old as Alec Guinness was if you're going to do like an old Obi. I mean, you could make up, age him up and whatever, but...
Sure.
I don't know. Maybe they'll just do a Clone Wars movie.
No, I guess they could. There's a lot of like side stuff in there that
potentially.
Yeah. They're not leaving that time period apparently ever. So.
Well, another time period in the Star Wars and this actually is kind of news. You can now stream the Star Wars Christmas special for the first time.
Really?
Yeah, I just saw this. I need to pull it up now.
Have you guys ever watched it?
No.
Aaron, saddle in and just... It's bad. It's so terrible.
That's what I heard. I think we had talked about this in a previous episode, how some of the people were actively trying, knowing full well how much garbage it was. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was Harrison Ford, though, just like halfway through was like, I'm done.
Yeah, his was weird because I'm sure he knew it was terrible, but he was trying really hard and like playing Han Solo. But then, yeah, halfway through, he also gave up because nobody else tried at all. B. Arthur was okay.
Well, and Carrie Fisher, bless her soul, rest her soul, was totally wasted through the entire thing.
Yep. I think she even admitted that later. That one, see, and that's the flip side. We just talked about a director off the rails with no one to stop him. That show is a studio note with no one to stop them.
Sure. Yeah.
That's a studio totally not understanding how to make a good movie. I guess it was a movie. It was like an hour and a half on TV.
Yeah, it was a holiday life special. Day. Yeah, Life Day. And what's Chewbacca's son or nephew named?
I don't know. One of them was something dumb like Stinky. I can't remember.
Think,
hold on. I'm
going to
look
that's the little one. I think it is like Stinky. It's like Stinky Baca. And they're like, God damn it.
B. Arthur. Oh, boy.
First appearance of Boba Fett, though.
It was, and it was actually a cool little cartoon. He was riding a dinosaur for some reason. He had a tuning fork in his hand. Wookiee. Okay, that's the bowl they were making. Stupid ass. Oh, that's real bad.
Yeah, Boba Fett, though. Oh, God. Please
it
remember
was not
that.
Stinky. It was Lumpy.
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 Yeah. Ugh.
Get to see.
Well, I guess I got my Halloween costume next year.
Lumpy Baca.
Lumpy Baca. Everybody will get it.
Yeah,
no, there'll be like four people who will get it, and they'll love it. Yeah. Oh, what a terrible.
But
Star Wars holiday special.
Doesn't like Chewbacca's, it's like his aunt or his mom, she like has a whole Julia Child cooking thing in the
Wookiee
kitchen.
Well, it was the worst thing ever. I mean, like, they made it and it was on TV. And then literally, CBS or something? For some reason, it wasn't Fox. I don't know if Fox didn't have new TV stations back then. But it was terrible, and George Lucas and Fox were like, nope, bury it. We'd never want to see this thing again. Because George Lucas had almost nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was bad. Very 70s, and even worse.
Oh, yeah. It was like it was written by the people who wrote H.R. Puffin stuff.
Yeah. But like later in their career when they've really run out of ideas, didn't care anymore.
Yeah. The jaded writers of H.R. Puffin stuff, having seen the world from the top, where else could they go?
They kind of felt like they had to.
They were doing blow off puppets' asses.
It felt like they hadn't seen Star Wars and they were just like, ah, whatever. I've seen Sesame Street. That's basically the same thing.
Yeah. But will that
and on the note of holiday
will that be the worst thing on our holiday list? I think that's
the answer is yes, but
yeah, it's gotta be. But we'll see. I mean, I'm looking at a list of holiday movies just as a safety precaution, and one
Christmas
of the
Prince.
Yep. You knew right what I was looking
Christmas
at.
Prince?
That's one of those Hallmark movies.
Yeah. Ugh.
Oh dear. Oh, no.
What happens when a European prince finds himself in a small main town where she owns a flower shop that's also a bakery?
Tribalism. That's what happens.
Oh, oh. God. Oh. I mean, he's not wrong. It's...
This European... Get out of here.
There's a really...
You leave our rose bread alone.
There's a good SNL skit on... all those Hallmark Christmas movies, like how they're all exactly the same.
Uh-huh.
There's a John Mulaney sketch about a busy businesswoman who has no time for anything but business. That's what they all are. And they go back home and they bake a pie with their mom who doesn't have a job for some reason.
And she says something like, and then you just got to open up your heart a little bit. And then they meet.
Yeah, and then she runs into the guy that she sort of dated in middle school or something.
But now
he's a rancher.
Which is the equivalent of taking off the librarian's glasses to discover she's hot. Yes. Like, put a guy in a flannel shirt and all of a sudden it's, and like he gets a little bit of scruff and it's like, oh, that's every woman's Christmas miracle. A ranch hand.
I also love the like Christmas Prince movies because they're like from a nondescript European country. There's like one European country that still has royalty in that.
I know.
And they don't.
I'm
even
from
do
Albaniston.
Yeah. Oh, he's the king of France. Like, that's not even a thing anymore. Yeah. What's happening?
I think you could get away with that more in like the 80s and 90s because you couldn't just go fucking look it up. And now, I feel like even until, I can't think of a specific example now, but I feel like I'd been lied to several times as a child about things that are just like blatantly you can look up anywhere now.
Yeah, probably. Because there was always somebody who thought they knew the answer, whether or not they were right. And there was no way to know. And now you look on the internet and it's always correct.
Internet.
Yep.
There's no bad information on the internet.
Oh, God. Let's not dive down that rabbit hole quite yet. I'm only on my first glass of whiskey.
Speaking of bad information, Die Hard's not a Christmas movie, by the way.
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah, it takes place on Christmas. Has nothing to do with Christmas.
Sorry, folks. Yeah.
Right.
It's not a Christmas movie.
The people who, they're lying to themselves and they're just being contrarian. Mm-hmm. I'm like, haha, Die Hard's a Christmas movie. Gremlins is more of a Christmas movie than Die Hard.
That is exactly what I was going to say.
You're right.
Like, Die Hard takes place around Christmas. Great. That because it doesn't deal with any of the themes of Christmas or anything like that. And I guess I haven't done like a dissertation to really break it down into its individual components to see if it matches up with the Christ story. I don't see it having a lot to do with Christmas commercialized or traditionally. So, I mean, at least Gremlins has to do with like a gift gone wrong.
Yeah. That's the whole premise of the movie.
And like true. Yeah. A father wanting to prove he's not a failure to his son. That sounds like Christmas to me.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
is A Christmas Story the quintessential Christmas movie?
Oh, man.
It's always going to be the fight. It's going to be that fight, always and forever. Christmas Story versus Christmas Vacation.
Mm-hmm. And my friend JJ said this, and it makes a lot of sense. When you're a kid, A Christmas Story is the best Christmas movie. Yeah. But when you're an adult, Christmas Vacation. Because that's the experiences you have definitely
absolutely
reflected in those
two
movies.
And I think, I don't know that the sentiment behind Christmas Story will ever change, right? As tech savvy and as integrated with internet and interactive technologies as our lives become, the simplicity and the themes in that story, I think, will continue to hold true so long as Christmas as we recognize it is around.
Well, that was deep. But yeah, I know what you mean. Because I never wanted a BB gun for Christmas, but we've all wanted, you know, the Red Ryder BB gun with the triple double action or whatever in the cup and the stock and this thing that tells time. But we've all had that at will when you're a kid every year. There's something that you got to have it.
But Christmas Vacation is my favorite Christmas movie by like a wide margin. And I still love Christmas Story.
I would agree.
But I love it to like have on in the background on Thanksgiving Day when it's a marathon. And no matter when you glance at the TV, you're going to see Christmas Story. Christmas Vacation is the Christmas movie that I like make time to watch. And I save it. I save it all season so I get to watch it around Christmas time.
But would you still feel that way if it was on 24 hours instead of Christmas Story? I guess it's hard to really know.
It is hard to know. And maybe not. But I don't know. I feel like some people, like, they watch every moment of the Christmas, like the Thanksgiving marathon of Christmas Story, and it's still their favorite Christmas movie. For me, I don't like Christmas Vacation is funnier, which I'm always going to gravitate toward, I think. And I, yeah, it's just, it's lighter. It's more bitty. It's more digestible, I think.
It's also
Christmas Story is very, very sweet.
Yeah. Christmas Vacation is also less racist, as long as I can remember anyway. There is that final moment in Christmas Story in the Chinese restaurant. That's
I always forget about that.
Isn't that a fun memory? That's a fun memory.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, it's not. I do always forget about that part, which is... That movie was not not filmed that long ago.
It really wasn't.
But as we've found many times in our discussions, it wasn't all that long ago that things were pretty openly racist.
True.
Yeah, we could do. We'll do an episode on that problematic tropes someday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like, remember in the 90s when they were like, haha, you're gay, and that was the funniest joke in the movie.
Right.
Unfortunately, times change.
Which is it, 16 Candles with the donger?
Yeah, Long Duck Dong.
Ugh.
Yeah, and also Ducky is a creep and a weirdo and shouldn't have been allowed near Molly Ringwald.
No, well, and there's a lot wrong with Revenge of the Nerds.
Well, yeah,
which was like,
ooh, boy.
Like a banner movie. Although, while stereotypical, was their depiction of, and this is a whole nother conversation, but Lamar, the gay nerd, was that a negative depiction besides being fairly stereotypical? But I mean, no more so than stuff we see in much more contemporary films.
Yeah, I haven't seen Revenge of the Nerds in a long time. The problem most people have with it is the scene where he kind of rapes that girl.
No, it's definitely the rape. And we've specifically talked about that on this show, too. No, that's definitely the number one problem.
Yeah.
Takeshi was problematically... I forget that he's even in there, but yeah, he's the Asian nerd.
Man, they really hammered down that Asian stereotype in the 80s, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm.
It's Michael Scott's Ping, his really awful impression that he does.
Yeah.
That was every Asian character in 80s
yeah,
movies.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, man, we are off to a Christmassy start. I mean, Christmas is a pretty problematic holiday. Let's just call it Saturnalia for the rest of the episode. How about that?
Saturnalia.
I was looking, there aren't really...
People would love that.
So, like, Christmas Story was in the 80s, and Christmas Vacation was 89.
Uh-huh.
That's... Oh! Nope, I thought of one that I know was in the 80s. And it might be...
Oh?
It might actually be my favorite Christmas movie.
Uh-oh.
Which is?
It's a little movie called Scrooged, starring Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That was, like, 87, 88.
Yeah, I was going to wait to bring that one up, but...
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. I mean, we've been on no sort of list. I'm glad it came up this early. Because, yeah, it's right up there. I had a friend who up until a year ago had never seen it. And when we introduced it to him, he, like a child, wanted to watch it again and again. We watched it three times in one day.
Wow.
Oh, it's such a good movie.
It's so funny.
A modern retelling of A Christmas Carol, obviously. Yeah, I just got my wife to watch it either last Christmas or the Christmas before, because she also had never seen it. She really, really liked it too. So that's on the Christmas rotation now.
Yeah, and I watched that movie first when I was a kid and thought it was real scary.
Yep,
because there's a lot of real scary parts in it, but there's a lot of real scary parts in Christmas Carol. Most of which you never even see in the translations, but they don't probably translate that well. But yeah, it's definitely on the rotation for Bill Murray gives a heartfelt performance in that movie. I love him as Cross, Nick. No, not. Yeah. Nick Cross.
Frank.
Frank Cross. What's the name of the woman who plays the Ghost of Christmas Present in that movie? The one who hits him with...
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Is someone honking at you? Are you in the street?
I'm in L.A. I don't know if you guys knew this. I live in L.A. And thank you.
There it
Carol
is.
Kane. Yeah. Carol Kane, by the way. While yeah.
We live in traffic, so I'm recording this from my car. No, some assholes... anti-theft system is going off. Hopefully it's not mine, but nope. Yeah, Carol Kane. So, Bill Murray will not work with her anymore because of this movie. God damn it. but Bill Murray will, he refuses to work with her ever again because in the scene where she's like slapping him around and beating him up, she grabs his lower lip at one point and yanks him down. And apparently she did that so hard, it pulled his lip away from his gums.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's painful.
Yeah, it sounds painful, but there you go. Another fun Christmas fact. Son of a bitch.
What is going on?
I don't know. I don't know. No, someone's definitely aware of it at this point. Yeah, 1988. What a film. I love that movie.
That's a great movie.
Oh, and
great
it's got
Christmas classic.
It's got my my love, my lady, Karen Allen.
Yeah, Karen Allen. Like, very attractive, but you can't really put a finger
she's
on why.
She's so cute. She's so pretty and cute in this and in Raiders of the Lost Ark and Animal House. It's those big, pretty eyes, man. And that smile. She could light up the world with her smile. Mm-hmm. Turn the world on. That's, I don't know. I don't know the lyrics of the song I'm trying to quote. Christmas movies, guys. They're great.
Aaron, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
Remember in, well, I already said probably Christmas Vacation would be my favorite.
We already picked it. Pick a different one.
Oh.
Just kidding. That's...
Well, then I'm going to pick that one moment in Harry Potter where they say Happy Christmas.
They do say Happy Christmas in England. Is it weird that we say Merry Christmas because I think
Happy
Christmas makes more sense? Well, because we don't say Merry Birthday or, you know. Hey, Merry
well,
St.
Yeah,
Patrick's
but
Day.
The holiday season is the season to be merry and bright.
Well,
yeah,
that's
I mean, okay. We chop down trees and bring them into our houses. Let's not pull threads in the logic of any of these things here.
Yes.
Let's just all agree from now on to say Christmas, huh? And that's it.
What was the Bing Crosby Christmas movie that we saw, Aaron? And we, because not only do we chop down living trees to bring them into our homes and string garbage on them, we used to have lit candles on these trees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a dried out fir tree.
Who the hell made these traditions? So luck just doesn't play a role in Christmas, which is fine. It doesn't play a role in a lot of things, but
Good Housekeeping did a 55 best Christmas movies of all time.
Well, if anyone would know.
Oh boy.
And we're covering every one of them.
They stopped at 55 because all the Christmas movies. A Christmas Story. Yeah. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Okay. Love Actually. Mm. Not for me. Charlie Brown Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't like the Peanuts. In general.
Cool.
Never been a Peanuts fan.
Bad take.
No, the Christmas special is not an exception. It's cute in the way that Precious Moment figurines are cute. Like, I think they're cute enough for some people, but I wouldn't want them in my home.
Okay, Trading Places is on this list. And that's what I mean. That's where I'm at with Die Hard. Trading Places is The Prince and the Pauper. They just have it set at Christmas time. It's not a Christmas movie.
Yeah. And in fact, the climax of the movie happens on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Or New Year's Day. So it's at best, it's a holiday season movie. But it you're right. It's The Prince and the Pauper. It's not tied to a.
Because in Blade Runner 2049, it's snowing. You could just say it's Christmas. Is Blade Runner 2049 a Christmas movie? Thematically, it is not, I say.
Well, so let's go down a quick Aaron, what are your thoughts on the Peanuts Christmas before
It's been a real long time since I've seen it.
Lucky.
From what I remember, it's, like you said, it's cute. It's quaint. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm against the Peanuts, but I'm also not like, holy crap, Charlie Brown Christmas is on. I have to watch this. So somewhere in the middle, I guess, is where I'm at.
I think the Peanuts have like two or three good gags that they hit exactly the same way in every single special and episode of cartoon I've ever seen. So it's Charlie Brown misses kicking the football. Lucy freaks out to being kissed by Snoopy.
Yep.
Maybe Lucy hitting on Schroeder.
Has a romantic love affair with his blanket, even though Charlie Brown's little sister loves Linus. It's a triangle. Love triangle for the ages.
That's it. End of list. Nothing else is actually...
Pigpen's there.
Oh, yeah. And then Charlie Brown's a huge dick trying to set up the Christmas play.
But he learned the reason for the season. Doesn't
even give him any attention. He's just,
I think. It's been a while since I've watched that to the end. Yeah. There's so many Christmas movies that you definitely watched them once as a kid, and now you see 60%
eventually,
of them.
I guess.
Yeah. I am going to throw a movie on the list. It's not one of my... I wouldn't even necessarily put it in my top five. Nah, it's totally in my top five Christmas movies. Ernest Saves Christmas.
Uh-huh.
God damn it.
Guys... Ernest P. Worrell literally saves Santa Claus.
It's not a Sawtswatch episode without bringing up Ernest.
And you know, I think you could argue that In the Name of the King, a Dragon's or a Dungeon Siege story, is also a Christmas movie of sorts.
Just hitting every
it
checklist.
Just keeps on giving.
Just going down the checklist and crossing them off.
What's your favorite Christmas movie, Numb One Hug Ninja and Nobody Else?
Well, Pants Manager.
Yeah, Pants Manager. Oh. He doesn't listen. He was just there for the video game.
Yep.
He, she, they.
Yeah, he, she, they.
We don't know.
I have. So we all know the Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
When he becomes Santa. Where do parents think that the presents that appear from under the tree come from? Because none of them believe in Santa Claus. But in this meta-reality, that Santa Claus is real and does bring presents and leaves them under the tree.
Presumably, they think that the other parent got them. Like, I think that's the easiest write-off for that. But again, you pull that string just a little harder and you realize that, like... If I looked under the tree and thought my wife, without consulting me, bought our child a mountain bike.
Yeah.
I'd be like,
Well, and then again, because you'd be like, hey, did you buy him the mountain bike? And they'd be like, no, I thought you bought the mountain bike. And then you're in a whole other.
Exactly. Who broke into
our home?
Somebody
bought this mountain bike and left presents.
Yeah, that's definitely a problem. Also, the elves are just children, and that's child labor, Santa.
Yeah, it's slave labor, too. It didn't seem like they were getting paid. They made a joke about having a union, but...
But who's really there to hold Santa to task? Like, Bernard? No. No.
No, Bernard's not doing anything.
That movie's all right. Like, some people really like the Santa Claus, and I, even when it first came out, just thought it was kind of okay. One movie, Christmas movie, that came out that was very, very impactful to me because I instantly hated it was Jingle All the Way.
How dare you?
I hate that movie. God.
For decades asking for an Arnold Schwarzenegger Sinbad team up movie.
I know.
And we finally get it.
And I have the gall to say it's not good enough. I know, Doug. I know how I sound, but hear me out. I'm tired of any movie that tries to portray Arnold Schwarzenegger as the everyman.
Yeah, okay.
That's fair.
With the marked exception of Total Recall, because in that one, he was living in a fantasy devised to make him believe himself an everyman, but he was, in fact, a secret spy. Spoiler alert.
What about
Twins? No, he's no secret spy. Again, yeah, not a fan. I like Danny DeVito in Twins.
Hates
but you're
Arnold
like
Schwarzenegger.
No, I don't hate Arnold Schwarzenegger. Just cast him as he was meant to be cast, as a badass commando and the last line of defense between Earth and some chaos. That is all he should be playing, or Conan the Barbarian,
or the good robot in Terminator 2.
Yeah. Yeah, he did a lot better as the good robot in 2 than he did as the bad robot in 1. But the bad robot in 1... Exactly, yeah.
But they were like, be intimidating and giant. Okay.
I'm it's crazy.
6'5", 280 or whatever.
Right. Because I always forget that Terminator 1 is... I mean, it's a sci-fi movie, but it's really a horror movie.
Yeah.
And the second one really isn't. The second one is kind of more action-leaning, heavier sci-fi. Maybe sci-fi-leaning, heavier action.
Yeah, that's hard to say. I just call it an action movie. But semantics. It's a good movie.
Yeah, it is. What is your favorite, besides Scrooged, because we've already kind of covered that one, which is your favorite telling of the Christmas Carol?
Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I got to agree with you.
And
Aaron?
I guess I would agree too.
That Muppet Christmas Carol?
Yeah.
What were you saying, Doug?
My wife says the Christmas Carol with George C. Scott as Ebenezer Scrooge.
Okay.
Spirit! He says spirit like 400 times in that movie. Yeah. It's good though.
Spirit! Yeah.
The ghost of Christmas present is like a weird, like, 70s swinger. Christmas future is just death in every movie. Like, the Black Hood skeleton, right? Like, all of them.
Yeah, everyone I can think of. I was going to say, I've only seen it once, but the Jim Carrey CGI Christmas Carol, I remember not being bad.
Yeah. No, it wasn't bad. I know Jacob Marley was really kind of creepy in that one.
Yeah.
Gary Oldman played him.
Yeah.
Never saw that one.
I have mixed feelings about, I can't remember who produces that movie, and like Polar Express, another Christmas movie, but those like super realistic CGI movies that I'm almost like, why don't you just have actors?
Yeah, I like that Uncanny Valley, yeah.
Like, if you're trying to go that realistic, why not just cast real people? I guess, because then you have to have, like, a real train set and yeah, but...
And a real sleigh, Ben. Where are you going to get a sleigh?
In this day and age? in this economy?
Yeah, I just Googled Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, which was its actual name, and it's just death. It's death as we envision it. In all of them, even the Michael Caine version, which apparently exists.
Oh, actually, I think I have seen that. Or maybe parts of it. Do you think that interpretation became what we know as death? Or do you think what we know as death was an image before Christmas Carol was popularized?
I think death came first because there's a lot of old cartoons with people dying and it was generally a skeleton, and sometimes the skeleton was wearing like a black hood and stuff. I don't know when.
Well, and that's what I'm trying to think, because when did death and the Grim Reaper, were they always synonymous? Did they become synonymous? Who knows? History and language and mythos are weird things.
There is a statue in a cathedral in Germany, that's a human skeleton with a cloak and a scythe, and it is apparently 600 years old.
Hmm. So Christmas Carol being 601 years old. No, I don't know how old things are, but it's not that old.
Yeah, Thanatos just looked like a regular angel. He was death way Thanatos? Back in the day. But wow. Anyway, Thanatos, yeah, Greek god of death. I don't know if he was god of death, but whatever.
Greek something.
He's Hades,
of death.
Effectively.
So of the old school Christmas claymation movies,
I was just gonna bring those up.
You know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, The Year Without a Santa Claus. I guess Little Drummer Boy and Jack Frost were also in there, but I never saw those two.
Rudolph 2 with Maybe Baby not. New Year. Huh. It's a New Year's movie.
They made
movie.
A sequel?
Oh. Yep, they made a sequel. Boy. Rudolph's got to rescue Baby New Year. I'm pretty sure that's the one with Jack Frost and the Heat Miser.
No, that's A Year Without a Santa Claus.
Oh, okay, never mind then.
I thought that was Santa Claus no, Coming to Town.
It had the bird. Don't you remember the weird vulture that was chasing New Year, Baby New Year?
No.
Nope, look sure don't.
No, you guys got to look it up. Not Rudolph. If you look up Rudolph 2, it gives you Rudolph the Second, the Holy Roman Emperor.
There was also A Christmas Story 2, in case you guys didn't know.
Yes.
Yeah,
they did.
From the cover art, it looks like a retelling of Christmas Story 1, but probably with new, worse jokes. It got 1.5 stars.
Oh, dear.
Rudolph's Shiny New Year.
Rudolph's Shiny New Year.
Yep.
Lovely.
When you have some free time, just look up some clips from that. There's like a squirrel as a friend. There's a weird bird.
The
Baby New Year
bird
has
is
dumb
terrifying.
Ears.
Oh yeah, and the baby looks dumb as hell.
Bird is terrifying.
But yeah, I don't.
They look super dumb.
Maybe it is Santa Claus is coming to town. I thought it was Year Without a Santa Claus that the Heat Miser and Cold Miser had their songs because Santa was too sick to leave the North Pole.
Maybe. Yeah, I think you're right. And then, like, Santa Claus is coming to town. That was like,
that was like the origin Meister, story of
Meisterberg,
Santa.
Never.
That was like Santa
was a
rising.
Ginger.
Santa Claus rising.
What I love most about all those movies is you'll have the protagonist as this kind of like dopey, specifically Rudolph, where he's just like, "Oh, why am I such a misfit?
Miss? I don't fit in."
And then the next song from somebody of equal age or what have you. Will be like an opera singer. Like this beautiful goddamn voice out of female reindeer, whatever her name was.
Oh, yeah.
There's always tomorrow.
Yeah, weird. Just weird stuff. There was a lot.
Super overproduced quality, all that stuff.
There was a lot of fucking mushrooms going around.
Yes.
In that time period.
Good old Christmas mushrooms.
Should we mention Elf? Because we haven't mentioned Elf, and everyone's probably
yeah.
I really enjoy Elf, but it doesn't have the. There's no nostalgia in Elf for me.
Exactly.
Right.
I liked Elf that time that I watched it.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's very enjoyable, but
yeah. But yeah, again, it wasn't a film I like grew up with.
Right. I think it came out when I was in like high school already. I mean,
it came out the year I graduated high school, 2003.
Okay,
same year as Love Actually. Actually, I don't care about Love
Actually.
No,
just kidding. It's fine. It's fine. But it's it's a romantic comedy disguised as a Christmas movie.
Yeah, but I put Elf in the same category. Actually, probably just a step below Jim Carrey's The Grinch. I really like that movie. I know like some people don't like Jim Carrey the Grinch as much. I think it's really funny. Some of the moments in it are like when, cause it stays very true to the classic animated movie that we all love. I think we all love. How do you guys like the old Christmas Grinch movie?
Oh, I love it.
I honestly, the animated one? Oh, the original
the
one.
Animated
yeah.
One. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The Jim Carrey one stays pretty true to that in a lot of ways and just embellishes on it, right?
Yeah.
Like fills in the detail to make it more of a living world rather than just the story of this sociopath hermit. God damn it. Oh, yeah. Drive off. The U.S. Postal Service guy just drove by, stopped his truck. As soon as he stopped his truck, the car next to him, the alarm started going off, and then he just pulled away. I watched it all happen. So it's The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, Jim Carrey's The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, is really funny. Jim Carrey does a great job. One of my favorite parts is that they keep the narrator in there. Son of a bitch. And a lot of the lines are the same. Like, he slunk to the icebox. And then Jim Carrey, in full Grinch regalia, slams his entire body against this refrigerator and looks at the camera and goes, slunk. And it's perfect. It's just exactly the tone that I want from that movie. And Jim Carrey is my favorite ever so.
I don't know if I've seen that movie all the way through, the Jim Carrey version.
Oh, you should. It's
good. Yeah, I should.
I really think
it's a good one.
And now we got the Benedict Cumberbatch animated one, which, now.
I have not seen that. Have either of you seen that?
No. Well, it just came out, and no.
It doesn't look like it's going to be good at all. They're adding characters just because what else are you going to do? The story's been told twice now, and it was pretty close to perfect the first time. There's this big, like, pudgy reindeer that like, rolls with them now, and it's like, why? Where's your source material for that? Where in the legend? No. Home Alone, Home Alone 2. Both technically.
Home Alone's good.
Home Alone is good. Home Alone 2 has its moments. Tim Curry as the bellhop is great.
Yes.
And
really all three of the hotel workers were good.
Oh, yeah.
Tim Curry, Rob Schneider, and that actress who I can never remember, but she's in everything from like 1985 to 1995.
But at least, if I remember correctly, the pigeon lady in Home Alone 2 is a much more redeemable character than the salt guy in Home Alone 1, who, like, knows that a child is living on his own and whose parents are away, but doesn't do anything about it. Except to show up at the end and bash a stranger in the head with a shovel.
Yeah, he saved him. He was just leaving the kid alone until he saw that, the kid was in danger.
That's not the least appropriate way to handle the situation, but
that's a movie I haven't watched in a while. I need to watch Home Alone this year. It's probably been 15 years at least since I've seen that one.
Yeah, I can't even think of the last time I saw that movie.
Maybe longer.
One movie that I feel like I should have seen and I haven't is It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah, never just sat down and watched it.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
Ah. I don't think I've seen it all the way through.
Would you say it's better than Miracle on 34th Street?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
But I don't love Miracle on 34th Street either. Like, I get it, but I don't love it. Mm-hmm. It's a Wonderful Life is really good, but Jimmy Stewart is annoying and sucks. Whoa, gosh.
That's fair.
That's an acting career.
That's a pretty good idea, Mary. Maybe I'll lasso the moon.
Yes.
Bring it down to you.
Yeah. It's not a Jimmy Stewart guy.
Swallow it, and it'll shoot out your tips of your toes and your hair. And I'm sorry, I dropped acid about an hour ago. And whoo! Santa Claus is Coming to Town is the origin story of Santa Claus. Year Without Santa Claus is the heat miser, cold miser. They were 4 years apart.
There's also Santa Claus the Movie, starring that one guy who's in every Coen Brothers film, and Dudley Moore. It's weird. It literally, like, it opens with, like, Santa Claus and his wife are, like, making toys for the village or something, and then they freeze to death, but the elves rescue them.
Oh.
So then he becomes Santa Claus. Yeah, oh. It's like He's been Santa Claus for 600 years.
Well, I see another James Stewart film on this list. Shop Around the Corner. The Shop Around the Corner. Yeah, exactly. What? You've never... What about Christmas in Connecticut?
You know, the thing about that film is that I've never heard of it.
Or Holiday Affair. It's Mitchum's latest.
Nope.
Nope.
I don't, Robert Mitchum. I'm looking at this list.
Huh. Robert Mitchum.
Oh, God.
Christmas Prince 2 on that list.
How many sequels?
A Royal Wedding.
Grumpy Old Men.
Oh, I love that movie.
I remember Snow on the Ground. I don't remember if it's Christmas themed.
I actually think
it
is.
Is it now? Because their family, because their kids are visiting and stuff. So I think it is.
I think one of the families might be Jewish. So
is that what it is?
Jack Lemmon's family. No, not Jack Lemmon. Walter Matthau's family. Yeah. Much like real life. Kevin Pollak. Movie,
he does a fine job. He
doesn't do any impressions. That's true.
He's good in, he's fine in The Usual Suspects too, but at least in that one, he's kind of always just doing one impression, so you can kind of forget.
Well, he's just annoying. Like when he does stand-up specials or roasts, he literally does the I wonder what Christopher Walken would think if he were here. Oh, no. A comedian with a Christopher Walken
impression. Impossible. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yeah, there we have it.
Really is. I can't.
That was my fault.
Can't be held responsible for that. They've got some
obscure ones.
Some obscure. Well, obscure, but also just like, I don't even know exactly how to say this one. Joyeux Noël.
Sure.
Joyeux Noël. Joyeux Noël.
I don't know. I took Spanish.
Joyeux Noël? Probably. Me too. And I didn't do that well.
Feliz Navidad.
You know what we didn't mention?
What's that?
The Nightmare Before Christmas. Hmm.
Yeah. I kept meaning to bring that up and I just, that's an excellent Christmas movie, and it's not a Halloween movie.
I kind of disagree.
It's kind of both.
The first part is on Halloween.
Right.
But then the next morning is literally not Halloween anymore, which is, 12 minutes into the movie. Yeah,
but it happens in Halloween Town.
Yeah.
Where it's always Halloween.
It's always Halloween. But the next day, when Jack is missing, the mayor's going there to
plan the next Halloween. Yeah, I know. It's just like you look at the cover art and the themes of it, and
Both.
That soundtrack was nominated for an Oscar.
It should have been. It's a really great soundtrack.
Yeah, best original.
Probably Danny Elfman's finest work as far as scoring goes.
I would say definitely. I think past Nightmare Before Christmas, Danny Elfman kind of falls into the same trap that we see Tim Burton fall into, where it's like, I did this with huge success once. I'll just keep bum, 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 bum. Which is no surprise that they work together so frequently. But here's the other, the yardstick against which I'll measure whether or not it's a Christmas movie. I don't crave watching it in the holiday season. If there's a particular season I crave watching it in, it's the Halloween season. It's like October, because it gets me in the mood like jack-o'-lanterns and creepy things and monsters.
That's fair.
And even Santa, the quintessential the man who is Christmas, looks a little creepy in that movie just because of the style of the character design.
Yeah.
He's got that big body and the tiny feet, tiny hands.
The big old bug eyes.
We covered every Christmas.
Pretty
every
much. I'm going to scroll down the list and see if there's any. Oh, how could we forget? The Family Man.
Classic Christmas
tale. Yeah, and guys, we forgot to mention Prancer, 1989's Prancer.
A beautiful tale of a failed security guard whose dream is to become a reindeer.
Wow, word for word. You got... No, a farm girl nurses a wounded reindeer she believes is one of Santa's, hoping to bring it back to health in time for Christmas. Her holiday spirit inspires those around her, something her disheartened father is having trouble understanding. Wow, actually, stars Sam Elliott, Cloris Leachman, Ratanya Alda, and Abe Vigoda.
Huh? That was a made-for-TV movie, wasn't it?
Yes. Probably. But again, 1989, so...
Do you think...
And it... It,
Sam Elliott.
It grossed $18.5.
Dollars.
Oh, so yeah, it was in the theater.
Yeah.
$18.5. Hey, $18.50 in 1989 money or whatever is almost $20 today.
Oh, and guys, how could we have forgotten the disappearance of Haruhi Suzumiya?
I didn't forget about it.
I hold it in my heart.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to steal your showstopper, Doug. yeah, that's a Christmas anime, I guess.
Huh.
Did either of you guys see Krampus?
Nope.
No, I didn't. I've heard it was really fun, though.
I wanted to see it. I didn't end up seeing it. I might correct
that. Is
that
the one
that
where it casts like a bunch of comedians in a horror movie?
Yeah.
Yep,
Adam Scott and Tony Collette, David Koechner.
I might have to watch that at some.
David Koechner.
I'll have to watch that sometime.
It has Lethal Weapon as a Christmas movie.
See, again, it's just movies that take place around Christmas, sort of.
Yeah. Right.
Ooh, interesting subject though. Batman Returns.
Ooh, nope. I'm gonna say no, even though again,
yeah, no,
it
yeah.
takes place around Christmas.
And I think a lot of it is like based around the idea of Christmas in the City. It is not a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Glad we got that resolved. That was gonna bug me.
Well, that about does what I've got.
Yeah, I really can't think of anyone. Oh, I just saw a picture of the little drummer boy claymation cover, and it is. I do not like the looks of it.
Something to behold.
It falls right into the uncanny valley. It drops right in. It's like a glove. Well, yeah, that about does it for me.
What are your favorite Christmas movies, Sotskers? Make sure you hit that like, comment, and subscribe. But just leave a comment of what your favorite holiday Christmas movies are. What did we miss? What opinions do you disagree with? You're free to leave that comment. We probably won't read it, but you might get a like or a ha-ha.
We'll definitely read it. Will we have a response? Probably not a satisfying one. And folks, this is going to be, I believe, the last episode of Season 1 for SotsWatch. We know we kind of sprung it on you, but we figure what better way to round things out. We're going to take the holiday season off. More importantly, we're going to let you take the season off from us. And then starting again,
we've got some plans in the works.
You've earned it.
Too, so.
We'll see you again sometime in January, folks. We'll be sure to let you guys know. Do not forget, so that you can keep up with all the SotsWatch news, find us on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. We are SotsWatch, SotsWatch.
Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Aaron.
I'm Ben.
I'm Doug.
Keep watching, Sots. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.